Welcome to A Double,
Double,
and Dice,
with your host Kim,
and Jocelyn.
Pour your favorite beverage,
pull up a comfy chair,
because we are ready to roll. Welcome to episode 113 of A Double, Double, and Dice podcast, and today, I'm back.
Yes, you are.
Ciao, Bella. How are you?
I'm same old, same old. Nothing exciting here.
Nothing exciting here. Well,
since you were gone.
Since you've been gone. Sorry, that was my 90s flashback. So I went on vacation.
Yes, you did.
We had another Jay fill in for me on the podcast, Mr. Joro. Yep. And I listened to the podcast while I was on vacation.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. I was in Italy. So anyone who follows me on social media knows that because I posted a bunch of pictures of pasta and pizza and gelato
and and places
and beverages and places. And it was beautiful. And we had a lovely 2 weeks vacation in Italy. We were gone 16 days. So I want to put a big, huge thanks out to Kim and to Matt, a.k.a. Giordo, for doing the last episode without me. It was really good. I really enjoyed the conversation of Dice Throne versus Dice Masters.
Yeah, it was interesting. To actually like pick it out was interesting.
I think I actually had a question, but I don't remember what it is right now.
Well, if you think about it today, you will answer it. But write it down if you do remember.
Yeah, I was listening to it we were in an Airbnb somewhere in Italy. I don't remember if we might have been in Salerno or maybe it was Naples. Anyway, but there was a question that I had about Dice Masters versus Dice Throne that I don't think got answered in the podcast. So when I remember what it is, I will let you know.
All right.
But it was a great podcast, Kim, and you did a fantastic job hosting.
Oh, thank you.
And
I had a fantastic guest.
And Matt did. Well, Matt was okay. I'm just kidding, Matt. You did great. So what are we doing today, Kim?
Today, we have another request.
We have a request?
Yes, and this request came from one of our newer listeners, who I think she's all caught up now in all our episodes, Robin.
Hi, Robin.
And she asked us to do another female character in Dice Masters because it's been a very long time since we actually did one.
How long, Kim, do we know?
I did not look. I was intending to look when the last one was. But I don't think it was this year.
No, I don't think so. I'm just scooting back here to see.
To see? Okay, what episode it was. She gave two suggestions. Do you even know what she suggested? I don't know if you've been looking at the Discord or anything.
I do not recall.
Okay. She suggested two. I picked one of them. The other one, maybe we might do it, so I won't spoil it. But today we're gonna talk about Zatanna.
Cool.
Yes. Which she does have Dice Masters cards. I thought she had a lot more when I looked it up, but she actually doesn't have that much for some reason. I thought she
for,
had more.
For reference, it appears that our last episode of a female character in Dice Masters was episode 96.
Okay.
And we're in episode 113, so it's been almost 20 episodes since we did one.
Yeah. Was it this year?
No, that was last year.
Right? Yeah. So it has been a while.
Yeah.
So we're taking Robin's suggestion today. We're going to talk about Zatanna. Nice, quick, short version of Zatanna. And then we get into the Dice Masters cards. And then our dice bag, which actually I didn't do last episode. So it hasn't been much, but... There's a few. And I'm not sure if you even got anything before you went on vacation.
Yeah, I will double check my private messages.
So Zatanna, I thought she would have been a little bit more interesting, but she's pretty normal. I know we usually have, if anybody doesn't know our running joke with female characters, of how we pick the ones that has had a life, mm-hmm. a tough life. It doesn't seem like Zatanna has. So this one might be a nice a nice female character. But let's get into her. Ready?
Ready.
Okay, so I'm taking this from the wiki of DC, and I'm glad Robin picked DC because DC is my favorite. Mm-hmm. The other character also was DC, but decided to go with this one. So I will put the link where I got this info from, because there's a lot more you can read up on her, which I will not get into. But this is taken from New Earth. So Zatanna, last name Zatara, usually goes by her first name, so we know her by Zatanna. Is a powerful half Homo Magi, and I don't know if I pronounced that right, but that is a sub-race of humans with the inherent ability to wield magic. So if you ever seen her picture, you probably would know that she's pretty much a magician. Mm-hmm. She's the daughter of John Zatara, who's also a magician, and her mother was named Sindela, who was a member of the mystical Homo Magi race. And as the same as her father, John, she can cast spells by saying what she wants backwards.
Ooh, fancy.
Which I find would be very hard to do, especially those big words.
I mean, I agree, but maybe if you're part of this specific group of people, then maybe it's easy for you.
Maybe, yeah. So Zatanna became a very successful on stage, being an illusionist, and that's what she pretty much was her career. So, and then before she discovered her true magical powers, while she was investigating her disappearance of her father, on her quest she had asked help from various heroes, including, in which we may know, Hawkman, Hawkgirl, Adam, Green Lantern, and Elongated Man. Eventually, Zatanna located her father in the world of Karma, where she traveled to alongside magical duplicates of her heroes, which she met in her journey, and was finally reunited with her father, who was forced to stay away from her due to a spell from the evil sorceress Allura. Mm-hmm. So Allura would be probably her big bad, I guess. How everybody has a big bad or a main enemy of theirs. Allura would be it. Zatanna continued pretty much with her career as a stage magician. And not much later, she met other notable heroes such as The Flash, Supergirl, and Green Arrow.
Never heard of them.
Oh, no. These guys we've never heard of. As she pursued her stage career, she hired an agent named Jeff Sloan, who would soon become a very good friend of hers. They would go on adventures together. And then shortly after, after finding Jeff, Allura attacked them by possessing Zatara. Zatanna and Jeff had to overcome several obstacles on other dimensions until they returned to Earth and defeated Allura for good.
For good.
For good. So she done. And then, you know, Zatanna went back to her career as a stage magician. See, she like she does magic, goes on these adventures, does magic, goes on these adventures.
Sounds like a good life to me.
Right? Always returning to her magical career here. And if you ever notice that she pretty much wears like a very magician outfit, which I'll get into her magicianal things in a second. So also Zatanna, obviously on her adventures, she has been assisting the Justice League of America.
Nice.
On a lot of cases before actually she was elected to have full membership into the JSA. And she was recruited into Justice League as well. Zatanna changed her regular stage outfit to a combat costume after changing her alias from Zatanna the Magician to Zatanna the Sorceress.
Fancy.
Now, if you ever look at her picture, which I believe the Dice Master cards for this, she has a magic wand she usually holds and a magician's hat. Mm-hmm. her wand, a magic wand, this is pretty much, they think, just a stage prop, so nothing really powerful about it. But her hat can project energies, objects from it. So she can even take out any equipment she needs. Like, she could even use it as a portal or a dungeon to capture and trap her target. So her hat has some magical powers.
Can we trap my dice in it? Would that roll well?
Sure. Again, they don't really know if it's a stage prop or not, but you never know if these wands have any magical powers or anything like that. Now, I'm not going to get into it because I was like wowed of how much actually like ability she has. Like every single like kinesis you can think of, she has.
Wow. Kinesis?
Yeah, all the kinesis. So I'm not going to go through them. She has a lot of cool abilities. So if you, we'll leave the link. So have a look. And I was thinking, I'm like, oh my goodness, I never knew there was so much kinesis.
Kinesis.
Yeah, like fire was one. All these different ones. And which I didn't think she had that much power. So I guess wherever her half of her, where her father, or sorry, her mother came from, I guess they're very, very magical.
Well, we'll have to, as we go through the cards, Kim, you'll have to let me know if any of the cards sort of match her kinesis's.
Yeah, which I'm gonna bring up the list so I have the list, because it's she has so much things. It's crazy. But a lot of them probably focus on her, like her magical stuff, but she can also do like everything's magical, right? So. Mm-hmm. So that's her. So she's pretty, she didn't look like she had much of a crazy growing up life.
It doesn't seem like she was assaulted or...
No, nothing like that. She came from a magical or, what do you call it? A magician's household. Mm-hmm. So she grew up like that and she had powers and, that's Zatanna.
Well, I am glad that she's had a pretty good life from the sounds of it. With that said, I'm sure there's probably some horrible story that we overlooked that talks about her horrible backstory. So if what was Zatanna's horrible
backstory. I'm sure there's things, when she was in Justice League and JSA and stuff like that, which we usually don't get into. But again, if you want to read up on it, you can read up. And if anything interests, you can always let us know, their audience. So
good stuff. So should we jump into the cards, Kim?
Yes.
So I have pulled up the team builder at rollandthunder.xyz/team builder.
Yes.
And where do we want to start? Zatanna has been in 3 sets.
Yes. Well, we'll start with the oldest, I guess.
All right. So she has 10 cards. And the oldest set that she was in is the Justice League set. Mm-hmm. And all of her cards in that set are commons, which means that she must have been in the starter.
Probably. Yeah,
probably 3 cards in the starter plus maybe a common in the boosters. So I'm just going to start at the bottom of my list. It says Zatanna and the subtitle is Backwards Magic and it's typed backwards.
Yep.
It's a 4-cost mask and it says while Zatanna is active, you may reroll your psychic dice once per turn during the reroll and reroll step. So I guess you get the ability to roll your psychic dice an extra time is what I'm hearing here.
Yeah. Well, I think 4 costs is a little much, but...
Yeah, I mean, but Justice League, it was the very beginning.
Yeah.
And interesting, so her stats, I just should have mentioned this at the beginning, her stats on all of her cards, or all of her dice are the same all the way through all 3 sets, which is 0, 1, 1, 0, 2, 2, and 1, 3, 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the next one, Kim?
Next one is Stage Magician. 3-cost mask, Justice League affiliation. She says Justice League affiliation in the whole set. When Zatanna blocks, draw a die from your bag. If it is a psychic, put it in your prep area, and Zatanna takes no damage this turn. Otherwise, return that die to the bag.
Well, that's pretty cool. I like
that's not bad. You get a little prepping, and if it doesn't work out, I mean, you also take no damage, so...
Yeah, and I mean, if you are managing your bag well, then you're going to know what's in your bag and what the chances are of you pulling a sidekick. But there's really no reason to not do it, and quite frankly, you don't have a choice. It's not a may, it's a must. It just says, when she blocks, do this. I guess you could not block.
Yeah, And she just goes through for whatever. I mean, her stats are not high, mm-hmm. Unless you pump her somehow or something.
Right, but she's blocking, not being blocked.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
When Zatanna blocks Estus, right? Yeah.
All right, her next one is called Actual Magician. Also a three-cost mask, and it says when Zatanna is KO'd, draw a die from your bag and add it to your prep area. So that's pretty good. Pretty easy to KO her with a 1-2-3 defense. Mm-hmm. Right?
So another, like, prepping mechanism there.
It feels a little bit like the title. Like, you know, magically she disappears and something else appears in its place.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And her last one, which is also backwards on the card, but it says Zatanna Zatara. When fielded, draw a die from your bag and add it to your prep area.
So what's interesting to me, Kim, about these four cards is that you have you have four different ability types with this character. You have when she's active, mm-hmm. when she blocks, when mm-hmm. she's KO'd, and when she's mm-hmm. fielded.
That's true. You don't usually see that.
No, you don't usually see that. So I thought that was really interesting. If you were building a Justice League team, Kim, which one would you reach for?
Ooh. I think I would reach for the backwards Zatanna Zatara. Because just field her, draw bag, add it to your prep, and then just attack with her and KO her or something like that.
It's probably the smartest one to build with, although I am very interested with the when she blocks, draw a die. Mm. So
yeah, that's you just use cool. her as a blocker all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the next set that she was in?
Green Arrow the Flash.
Nice.
Because, you know, she met Green Arrow and Flash.
Green
so
Arrow
far,
and Flash.
Very, very on theme with subtitles.
The set that did not include a character called the Flash.
That's right. This one, actually, which is also written backwards, I had to look it up. Because I couldn't tell just by reading it. But I'm pretty sure it says Interverted Incarnation.
Incantations.
Incantation. There we go.
Are you starting there? Because that's the super rare.
Yeah, I guess we'll start there. I'm going backwards on the list.
Well, I mean, it's backwards magic, right?
So yes, there we go. We're working ourselves backwards. Okay, so she is... this is Green Arrow Flash. So she's a mystic...
Yeah.
Affiliation throughout this whole set. This one is a super rare. 3-cost fist / mask.
Yeah, it's a crossover character.
Yep, so she's a crossover character. So to purchase her, you have to have a fist and you have to have a mask. And the other one could be whatever to purchase her. She has synergy, which is a keyword. Synergy abilities can be used while the character is active anytime you can use a global ability. And her ability is, when Zatanna is active, you may pay fist, mask, that's and, to reroll all opposing psychic dice in the field zone and reserve pool. Zatanna deals 1 damage to target opponent for each of their dice rolled in this way that shows a fist or mask. That's all, which means yours and your opponent's.
I gotta wrap my head around this.
I know.
While Zatanna is active, I'm gonna read it again.
Yeah.
You may pay fist mask to reroll all opposing psychic dice in the field zone and reserve pool. 1 damage to target opponent for each of their dice rolled in this way that shows a fist or a mask.
So even if they're holding energy, you can reroll those. I'm guessing they get it back on the rerolled.
So typically when you reroll dice, if they can't be in the zone that they are in. So let's say, okay, you're in the field zone, right? You reroll a sidekick die and it lands on an energy face. It can't be on an energy face, so it would go to your reserve pool.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a sidekick die in your reserve pool and you roll it and it rolls on... It's an energy, obviously, because it's in your reserve pool. It rolls on a character face. I wonder if you could field it.
Yeah, I don't know. But this is your turn, though, that you're doing it, not their turn. So they won't, because it's the opposing you're rolling, right? So they won't be able to field it. I'm assuming it'll go to their used pile.
Right. No, it says, I just reread synergy on the updated keywords page. Mm. It says, while a character with synergy is active, you can pay the cost of their synergy ability to use it. You could use it at the same time as you would a global ability. So I guess you could just do it on your turn, on your opponent's turn, because mm-hmm. you're using it with a global ability. I imagine that you could do it as many times as you could pay for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It might be better for you to do it on your turn, because then they can't feel their character that you would have rerolled on. It's interesting.
Yeah. Or if you can do it on your opponent's turn, you would do it in their main step before they attack you.
Yes. And then that would kind of maybe mess them up. It's an interesting
really
one.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next one in the set is Hex Appeal, which is an uncommon. It's a 4-cost crossover die of Fist Mask with Mystic's affiliation, and it has Cross Pulse. Cross Pulse is a keyword that happens when you purchase a die. So what that means is it's a special version of Impulse found only on crossover characters. When you purchase the characters by only spending their matching types of energy, you get to use their Cross Pulse ability. So in this case, if the dice that you use are masks and fists
only, right?
No question marks, mm-hmm. no bolts, whatever. Then you get to use the Cross Pulse ability immediately, which in this case is when you purchase this die, add up to two sidekicks from your use pile to your prep area. So that's pretty good. It's going to clear some sidekicks out of your bag and get them ready to roll next turn.
Mm-hmm. That was her uncommon. So this is her common main attraction. 3-cost, also Fist Mask. While Zatanna is active, when you field a Fist or Mask character die, you may reroll one of your dice. If that character is Fist and Mask, you may instead reroll up to 2 of your dice in the field zone or in the reserve pool.
So that's interesting, because it's not very often you can reroll things that are in your reserve pool.
No. And it seems like in this set, she's more re-rolling.
Yeah, it's while active and when purchasing.
Yeah.
Those are what we have here. So interesting. And where would you go here, Kim? What do you think?
You mean a next set?
No, like what
Where my favorite. Oh. Yeah, I don't know. That super is a very interesting one. But interesting to see if like to pull that off, actually.
Yeah.
How much damage can you really get? Because it has to land on the fist and a mask, so it might be a bit tough.
Fist or a mask.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
It's interesting. I'd like to try and build something around it.
It is interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And the final set that Zatanna was in was, to no one's surprise, the Mystics team pack, which means that we have 3 more common cards to talk about. So we'll start with Zatanna, Master Magician's Daughter, which again, thematic with the story that you've told us, Kim. In this set, she is a Mystics and a Justice League, and she's a mask character, of course. Same stats we've talked about, and she has a tune. And while Zatanna is active, your Mystic's character dice gain a tune. So a tune is a keyword that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag. So a tune is that when a character you control with a tune is active, when you use an action die, that character deals 1 damage to target player or character die, no matter how many of that character dies are active. So what's cool here is that if she's active, she gives all the other Mystic's people a tune. So if you roll, let's say you have 3 unique Mystics in the field, Mystics. So you'd have Zatanna and you'd have other people with Mystics. I'm going to say things that are probably not Mystic. Black Adam.
Yes.
Shazam, something like that. They're Mystics. 3 of them are active. They all have a tune. So if you roll an action die, you would get 3 individual damage, like 1+1+1.
Yep. And you do that to the opponent's life or character.
That's right. Totally cool. Mm-hmm. So that's that one. And I think that was the one that got a fair amount of play.
Yeah. I use this card quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's next?
Zatanna Magical Lineage, 3-cost mask. While Zatanna is active, when a character die spins up, deal its controller 1 damage. She has a global, pay fist, once per turn. On your turn, spin target character die up 1 level.
Yeah, so this is the only Zatanna die with a global ability.
Yes. And I think I've used this one too.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the final Zatanna card is Being of Magic, 3-cost mask. While Zatanna is active, when you feel the character die, spin it up 1 level. And this one, I think, also got a fair amount of play.
Yeah. Yep. Especially if you had some big boys, and a 3-cost is not bad. So you can always spin them up if they don't hit the level 3s or something. Or you can even force your opponent's character to spin up and they take damage.
Yeah.
All of these are really good.
Yeah. Again, all well active effects, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the first set we mentioned we had 4 different types of effects for Zatanna. And then when we got into the second set, it was some when active and when purchases, and then now it's when active abilities. So do any of these seem to tie in, Kim, to any of those kinesises?
No. Most of her, it seems like most of her subtitles is more appeal to like her magic and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Which is still very thematic to what we talked about.
But what about the abilities? Do any of the abilities
seem to
like there's the spin up, deal a damage. That could be like a fire damage type thing.
Yeah, because she's fire, ice, water, rock, wind, light, shadow, lightning. She can move objects. Well, I mean, prepping is kind of moving.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Prepping, or there is one where you move it from your use pile to your prep area, right?
She can teleport, so that's kind of fits in somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
She has deflection, which could be the blocking thing. Yeah, so I think there's a lot more. I think there's a lot of... she's got healing, but I don't think anything really gained your life there. So
no,
she didn't have a gain life abilities or anything like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of helping team, I think. Like, you know, helping your other mystics or whatnot. But I would say, yeah, a little bit of tie in there.
Yeah. Teamwork, right? Like mm-hmm. the whole giving your other mystics a tune. That's kind of a teamwork thing.
Yep.
Yeah. She's got some really interesting cards, Kim.
Yeah. I mean, I've only ever played with most of the mystic ones, from that set. The Justice League, I don't think I ever really, but even Green Arrow, the Flash either. I don't think I've ever pulled really any of those out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. If you had to pick just one that you were going to build with, what would it be?
Oh, boy. I'm really curious about that Synergy one.
Yeah, with the Super Rare.
The Super Rare one, yeah.
I also like the main attraction when she's active. When you field a fist or a mask character die, you can reroll your die. And if it's a fist or a mask, you can reroll 2 dice. So if you've got dice that are stuck in the field that you want to refield, you need to reroll them to get them out for whatever mm-hmm. reason. Maybe like they're too much defense, they're not getting blocked, and or they're
wet fielded and
yeah,
they're stuck there.
You know what I was trying to get at. I'm still jet lagged.
I seem to be fading from this game. I'm forgetting things to myself.
Well, we haven't talked about actually playing the game in like 100 episodes, it feels like.
Yeah, I can't. I haven't even touched Dice Master since like last year.
Well, this episode that we're doing right now, Kim, is sort of whetting my appetite to try.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like rekindling, like playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
Absolutely. Cool. So, anything else on Zatanna, Kim?
No, I think she's pretty. She's pretty cool.
Awesome.
I like her.
Should we jump into the dice bag?
Yes. Now, some of this dice bag stuff is a little old because when Jocelyn left and we had some dice bag and Matt and I didn't do any. So we'll have to remember where these episodes came from.
We'll figure it out as we go along.
Yep.
So taking a look here, I can see that we have some feedback from the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So we heard from AZNFreak48, And oh, that's, is that Petrus?
Yeah, that's Petrus.
Okay, I didn't recognize the screen name, but I recognize the picture. Petrus says, when I say that Lorcana is very much like Dice Masters, it's mainly the fact that you have to spend your energy and what to spend it like. Turns 1, 2, 3, 4 purchase order, using energy correctly to spend on things. And then it looks like there's more that didn't get copied here, Kim.
Is there more in there?
It says, albeit that Dice Masters is, and that it's more. So you didn't click the read more.
I did not click the read more. Okay, keep going. I'll go see.
All right.
Like that.
And then also from the YouTube, we heard from a few other people. So Danny said, hi, Jordo. So hi, Jordo. We heard from Larry H. And Larry H. says, I would definitely say that Dice Throne is way more accessible to a beginner player. And the feedback there was from us was that, you know, we 100% agree with that. The fact that they made free to play and print makes print and play characters helps too. Larry also said that there's been some heart pumping last rounds with Dice Throne. Some games come super close, and that Larry feels that the Dice Throne is not just Battle Yahtzee, but it's like Magic with a pre-made deck. Dice Masters is actually Magic, but with Dominion tossed in. Mm. I don't know what Dominion is.
It's a board game. It's a deck building game.
And someone from DM North, I don't know if it was you, Kim, or if it was Matt, that replied that that's not a bad description of Dice Throne at all.
That would probably be Matt.
Did you find it?
Yes.
There we go. Thank you. Okay. where we go. So, Lorcana is different than Dice Masters. Okay, here it is. Albeit that Dice Masters is also very much RNG, so random number generation sort of, and Lorcana is different than Dice Masters due to the dice, but I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking more of the gameplay wise. However, I do find that Lorcana is also random number generation RNG too, especially when it comes to getting all these hands of uninkables when you only have so little uninkables. Lorcana, anyone can win or get really close to it depending on how they draw too. I've seen this a lot. And that makes sense because there's how many cards in a Lorcana deck?
60.
Yeah, so it's like you're not going to get
it's luck. Deck. Yeah, and if you get your combo to go off and all that.
Mm-hmm. Dice Masters didn't have a chase card or anything like alt art cards that goes for $1,000 to $3,000, and people had a chance of getting them, but then again, it's a 10-year-old game, probably since it was a different time back then, and changing multiple models made it difficult. Peters finishes by saying he loves this series. It's great to see different games coming out. I know that Dice Masters really helped shape me up in playing Lorcana. So that's awesome. Cool. Then we also got some feedback from Nick through a direct message. He sent me a direct message on Discord, as he usually does. This is related to our episode, I think, 111, about what would support look like for Dice Masters.
Right, yep.
And Nick said that he felt like this week's episode was packed and that each part of the conversation could have been a very long and drawn out series, which I think he was right. We could have stretched that out a bit more, but we just threw it all into one spot. So in Nick's opinion, we were dead right that the game needs a consistent and transparent schedule. Ideally 3 to 4 releases per year, with each with a release OP kit. If 3 per year, 4 months apart, perhaps do a second OP kit 2 months later to keep up hype. In his opinion, ideally for the OP kits, they're mostly alternate art cards and not alternate text. If they are new text, make it the participation card. He's reminded of the Black Widow and Kate Bishop issues. So if you're not familiar with that, there were two sort of very effective alt text cards that came out in an OP kit, which were the Black Widow agent, I think it was, Kim. Mm-hmm. And then the Kate Bishop, both of which were very meta, and they were prize cards. They weren't participation cards, so you had to work to get them. And then he said, also, absolutely no dice in an OP kit. and then on another ideal release, schedule the rotation after Worlds in September like HeroClix, and then have the first set officially release in October. Use the Worlds event to draft that set as pre-release, also like Clix. Also like Clix in that they did that last year, but it's not it's not the common thing. I'm hoping they continue it. Shift to Gen Con to the championship is fine too. Just be transparent. Like you said, post some save the date notices so people can book hotels and flights. The event schedules need to be in way early for the big cons. To summarize though, and maybe just share this part unless something above struck you as interesting. I guess I should have read the whole thing. Sorry, Nick. Just be transparent and consistent in all things. Wherever the big championship is each year, try to keep it that way. He also had some potential difficulties that might pop up. You know, there might be issues with, say, three sets a year. Is it always the same IPs? Do we rotate through Marvel, DC, and D&D, or whatever new IP they might land on? Or because there are people that only collect one IP, they drive sales even, if not competition. And then collecting this game is oddball compared to other TCGs. You only need one copy of a card. Prices for singles stay down, but also means that you need to buy less product in general. You could buy a case and easily trade or buy the missing cards. Getting a full playset in other games is much more exhausting. Feels like Lorcana might be buy a case and still need to buy a lot of singles, and you might not have much to trade. So that was very interesting.
Yep, because Lorcana, you can go up to four cards of the same card. So you would have to, if you're making a deck and you're trying to do four cards of the same card and you don't get it all in your booster, you're looking out to get singles, right? So,
yeah. And I think we mentioned in a previous episode when we got the feedback from Nick himself, it was like how many cards you would need to collect a full playset of Lorcana, which was quite a lot compared to Dice Masters.
Yeah, expensive.
I don't remember how many, but a lot. A lot, a lot. So, and finally, which Kim will link in the show notes, there was another response from White Spider, Darren.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a blog post about what does support look like, and we'll leave it to you to go ahead and read that. But Darren shared his opinions on what we had shared in that episode 111, about the what support might look like. And I think the big thing I recall from reading his article was something about don't make the prizes exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and I get it, right? Because like when you have exclusive prizing, to Darren's point and also to Nick's point, it's a lot easier for people to get competitive and you lose that casualness because they want to win that card.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's all the feedback we got from the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, which went too far back. So
it's okay. Yeah, it's only two episodes.
Yep.
It's a month.
Yep.
So we're sort of caught up there. What else is going on, Kim? Anything else on the list?
No. No, keeping busy.
Cool.
Playing other games other than Dice Masters. But
yeah. I guess the only other thing I'll add is that the Gen Con schedule is out. So if you are considering going to Gen Con, at the time that this podcast releases, you'll still have a week to buy your tickets and potentially build your wish list so that you can go join one of the biggest board game conventions in the world. There is no Dice Masters on the schedule. There is HeroClix on the schedule. But there's no Dice Masters. So I think it's highly unlikely that we will see Dice Masters at Gen Con unless people bring their own stuff to just play on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But Gen Con is a fantastic convention. It is huge, massive. You could never do all of it. There's tens of thousands of games, almost 100,000 games, I think. Maybe not that many, but there's a lot. There's a lot of games that you can play. And it's a super fun time. So if you're interested in heading down to Indianapolis the first weekend in August, now is the time to think about that.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll learn how to play HeroClix.
Yeah.
Because Dice Masters won't be there.
Nope.
But WizKids will be there. They'll be doing stuff. It's just not Dice Masters from the sounds of it. So
we should riot in front. Dice Masters.
Yeah.
They would hate us. They would hate someone rioting in front of their booth. Could you imagine?
You wouldn't be able to riot in front of their booth.
Probably not.
It's so busy in Gen Con. There's so many people that like the crowd would just push you out of the way. And then you'd be standing in front of somebody's like art booth.
Someone else's booth. Yeah.
It was like, it's like a mosh pit. They just like push you. So it's not quite that bad.
It's like you have to move with the crowd. Don't go the opposite way.
That's right. Like... You got to move with it. Don't swim upstream. Right. Go with the flow. So, but yeah, Gen Con's fantastic. I've been a couple of times and I highly recommend that convention. So if you're interested, now's the time to think about it. So, and that's all I've got, I think.
Yeah.
Origins is also coming up. Wherever Origins is. Origins,
Philadelphia?
Ohio?
No.
Ohio, I think.
It's not actually a far drive for us.
Yeah. That's coming up in June. So board games there. Again, WizKids will not be at Origins, but there will be HeroClix there. I'm sure there will be other games like Lorcana and Dice Throne and stuff. And things and stuff. But yeah, unless somebody brings their own Dice Masters, I don't think any Dice Masters has happened there. So I have not been to Origin, so I can't speak to it, but I've heard that it's a fun time.
So it's like a smaller version to Gen Con, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a smaller version of Gen Con. So so that's coming up first, and then Gen Con is coming up after that, and that's all I know.
Cool.
So should we hit it and quit, Kim?
Hit it and quit.
I borrowed that.
I was going to say, where did Justin pick that one up?
Rolling Thunder. With no apostrophe and no G. That's what Arj and Lucan say. And we miss Arj and Lucan. They haven't put out a podcast in a while. So we'll hit it and quit, Kim. And if you have feedback for us and you would like to talk to us about Zatanna and tell us how wrong we were about her backstory or what we missed.
Oh, we missed something terrible.
Yeah. You can let us know by reaching out to us in all the usual places, which includes adding us on Discord. I am at Jostitch, J-O-C-E Stitch. Kim is at SuperK. You can join our Discord channel for DM North TV, where we have a section for a Double Double and Dice podcast convo. You can find us on the interwebs at dm-north.com and put a comment on our episode post. You can go to your good old-fashioned email browser and send us an email to tripledpodcast@dm-north.com. You can find us on all of the socials, including Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, X, Twitter, whatever we call it now, Threads, at dmnorthtv. You can find us on Twitch at twitch.tv/dmnorthtv. And of course, you can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/dmnorthtv. So until next time, on a Double Double and Dice.